Good morning, everybody. My name is Ray Graves, and I'm bringing the scripture to you, and it's only a few verses. Isn't this on, dear boy?
No, it's on. Just put it in front of your mouth.
Sorry? I'll put... Okay, these things. This is the reading. This is Luke chapter 11, the verses, four verses, and this is the Lord's Prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we have also forgiven everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Thank you. Just pray. Lord, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for the wonderful salvation we see experienced today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your great love to us. And we ask thy blessing. We invite the Holy Spirit to minister, continue his ministry to us this day through Miranda, as she brings us the reading and the word. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, dear family. It's good to see you. What I have for you this morning is less of a sermon and more of a part testimony, part resource guide. Okay? We're beginning our series on prayer, and we're going to look at how patterns of prayer can actually support and strengthen and deepen our relationship with God. What do I mean by a prayer pattern? I just mean something that's been designed to give content or structure or depth to our prayers. It may be something that we repeat that's already written. It may be something which leads us through a set of steps. It may be a practice. All kinds of different patterns which support our prayers. Now, this idea might be familiar to you. It might be quite foreign to you. You may even be feeling just that little bit of kind of resistance. Prayers that are prepared earlier are not something that you're used to. But I'm going to have a go at trying to persuade you to let down your guard this morning and give patterns of prayer a go. Let me just let you know that all the patterns I'm talking about here are available on a sheet to take home afterwards or also on the UPBC website. So you don't need to worry about taking photos or photographic memory. That's a relief, isn't it? Well, why should we use patterns? My initial response to this is quite simple. Jesus told us to. Did you notice that as Ray read the passage? His disciples come to him and they ask him, "Teach us how to pray." Now, if you'd like to go through the content of the Lord's Prayer, I do believe there's going to be an excellent sermon on that next Sunday night. Is that right? On the Lord's Prayer? But we're not going to deal with the content today. I just want you to notice one thing. Do you notice what Jesus doesn't say in response to his disciples' question? He doesn't say, "Oh, what do you mean? There isn't any real particular way to pray. You just kind of say anything you want to God and talk to him like a friend." And maybe that's the kind of response we might give if someone said, "Teach me how to pray." But Jesus doesn't say that. He actually says, "When you pray, say this." Jesus gives us a pattern. He invites us into his own prayer life, his own experience, his own priorities, his relationship with the Father, and what he wants our relationship with the Father to be. Did he always use prayer patterns? I very much doubt it, and we don't need to either. But it's interesting, isn't it, that when he is asked, this is what he offers us. This is what he offers all his disciples, and that includes us. Now, there are many other pattern prayers in the Bible. Did you ever think that any prayer that's recorded, that's written down in the Bible, has been in some way given thought and structure. It's been, someone has thought it was important enough to write that down. And even though it may have been originally a spontaneous prayer, it's become something for us to follow, carefully crafted. Now, there's often another question lingering around when we come to the topic of patterns of prayer. And it's something like this. What about that passage where Jesus says not to babble like the pagans and not to give vain repetition to our prayers? Heard of that one? Well, let's have a look at that. That's in Matthew chapter 6, which is just before Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. And this is what it says. Have we got it there? Lovely. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I've just put up there the King James Version, because that's where we get this little phrase of vain repetitions. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, this King James Version translation has got a lot to answer for, in my opinion. There's nothing in the Greek word that actually has any kind of suggestion of repetition. And yet this translation has damaged the reputation of the excellent practice of repetition. It's even been held up arrogantly by some Christians to denigrate the prayers of their brothers and sisters. So what does this passage mean? Well, the pagan religions in Jesus' day, they had to deal with gods who needed to be persuaded. Their gods are not the generous God that we know, who gives before we even ask. Their gods needed to be talked around. And so they either needed placation, they needed their egos stroked, or they needed to be informed and it needed to be explained exactly what was needed. And so the longer and the grander your prayer was, the more likely you were actually to persuade the gods and get them to do what you wanted. And what Jesus is saying is that is not how we are to relate to God. We don't have to impress God. We don't even have to inform him. He knows everything before we open our mouth. On the contrary, though, it's not a warning about written prayers. It's a comfort to us. You don't have to talk me round, says God. And the fact is that if we actually do what Jesus says and we pray the Lord's Prayer when we pray, we're actually in for quite a lot of repetition. And all of that's going to be nourishing and transforming to us. The Lord's Prayer, you would have to say, I would have to say, is the king of prayer patterns. It's your first call, it's your last call. It's there in the Bible, we've been given it directly by Jesus. And it's hard to overestimate its importance and its benefit to us. We can say it word for word, we can use it as a structure for our thoughts, but it's just gold. And the more we use it, the more we will benefit. Of course, prayers can end up as vain repetitions, and perhaps patterns of prayer are more prone to this. But do you remember some of the stuff we looked at in our series on the body? And we talked about how when our whole selves are engaged, it's very hard. When our whole selves are not engaged, that's when we have vain repetition. When our mouths are working, but our hearts and our brains and the rest of ourselves are off somewhere else. And the Bible tells us from Old Testament to New Testament that God is actually never satisfied with that. You know, if you don't want to please God, then do something while your heart's elsewhere, because that's what he hates. And I want to share a little bit of my experience with vain repetitions. I grew up in a fairly typical Baptist church in the 70s and 80s. But when I went to high school, my parents sent me to Woodlands Church of England Girls Grammar School. And there we had chapel every morning, Monday to Friday. The chaplain there was in the traditional mould of Church of England. And we had exactly the same service from the Australian Prayer Book every morning. Only the hymns and the readings ever changed. The participation levels from staff and students were lukewarm to say the least. I don't know how the chaplain got up every day and looked out on a bunch of mumblers and felt good about anything. But I, sitting there with the smug cynicism of a teenager who knew everything about the world and particularly about church, I felt like, you don't know how to relate to God. Who needs a book to read to talk to God? I had quite a bit of, arrogance. And I mean, I argued with the chaplain about consubstantiation in RE classes. I'm not sure that he found that helpful. But I had this kind of superior pity for those who needed to read a book to talk to God. So the first year or two, I just kind of mumbled along with everyone else. I was not more immune to peer pressure than your average year eight. But the next year or two, I thought, I'm just going to experiment. I think I'm going to try and block out everything that's happening, and I'll just pray my own prayer to God, because after all, that's a better way to do it. So I would just block and pray, feeling very virtuous. But as I got early into year 12, and I was actually at a new church at that point, and my faith was starting to grow, and at some point it actually occurred to me, what if I actually gave this a try? What if I actually sang the responses, said the prayers, like I really meant it, and put my whole self into it, and found a new way to be with God? So I did give it a try, and I actually found that everything that had been so repetitive, so empty, took on a whole new life. It wasn't their problem, it was mine. So I learned from that time, other traditions are not always necessarily inferior or wrong, which is always a good thing to learn at an early stage. And also that if I entered into worship, I entered into prayer with my whole self, then it didn't matter what style or how many times I said something, those prayers stay with me today. Now, this is the first pattern I'd like to have a quick look at. The Anglicans have a prayer called a collect. And a collect collects together the prayers of the people. There's a daily collect and there's different collects for different occasions. This is the one that I learned at school. And I'll try not to say it how we are. Eternal God and Father, by His power, created us. No, let's do it properly. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's actually a pretty quality prayer. And it's got a pattern to it. It's not just random. The pattern looks like this. Thanks, Ray. Okay, the Anglicans call it you who do to through. Cute, huh? So the idea is we start with an address to God, eternal God and Father. Then we say something about him, who, an attribute or an action. So in this case, it's by whose power we are created, by whose love we are redeemed. Then we ask him to do something, and usually it's connected to what we've just said about him. So here we say, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit. Then there's a to, like a why. Why do we want? Why are we asking for this? In this case, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you. And then finally, through, which points that everything we pray is through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know how much you would use this kind of pattern for your own personal prayer. You might want to journal it. But hey, it's a really great thing for preparing a prayer when you've been asked to pray in church or in small group or something like that. We often assume that the Spirit only inspires prayers as we step up to the microphone. I can guarantee to you that He actually works during the week as well. Often more so because we actually have the time and the space to think through, to seek what He's actually saying and what He would have us say. So, my story rolls on. I left school and I went to uni. My prayer life was up and down. It often depended on kind of what was going on in my life at the time, how things were. I found prayer journaling really helpful, kind of like writing God a letter, dear God, and then writing down as I was talking to him. It helped me to slow down my thoughts. But when I look back over that journal, I wasn't satisfied because, it was all about me. It was all about my worries and my concerns, my joys, my And that's all fine. And I'm sure God was happy to hear about that. But to be honest, I really didn't let him get much of a word in. And I certainly wasn't asking him for his agenda, what he would like me to pray about. And I realised that I was very inward focused. I don't actually remember where I came across this next pattern, but I decided to start journaling with the pattern of Acts. Some of you may have come across Acts before. It's probably one of the more well-known patterns. It looks like this. Now, Acts is not a repeated prayer. It's a pattern, a structure to work from. So traditionally, it would start with adoration. You pray prayers of love and praise to God. Then confession, bringing your sins before God, asking him to cleanse you. Thanksgiving, thanking him for everything that was happening around. And supplication, asking him for what you need. And you'll notice we've added an L at the top. Because if there's something just not quite there in the Acts formula, it's that sense of lament. Do you remember we talked about that last year? About saying, what on earth, God? I don't know what's going on. And there is a place for that, you know, probably on a daily basis sometimes. So that's Acts. It's a great tool to use, particularly where you're not sure where to start, or you don't know what to say, or you feel a little bit out of shape in your prayer life, and you just need something to bring you back on task. And we're actually going to be looking through this Acts pattern as we continue with our prayer series. So we're going to look at lament, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and actually unfold some of these and have a closer look about what they involve. Okay, fast forward, because the bit in between is a bit of a story in itself, how I went to work and then I left work and went to Bible college. Ask me about that another time. Okay, I've left my job and I've gone full-time to Burleigh Theological College. And in terms of prayer, this was a real eye-opener to me. Even though it was a Baptist college, the lecturers, they were drawing from all kinds of different sources and traditions. And that just opened my eyes. I had no idea there was so much out there. I went to church history and I learned about the amazing prayers of Christians in the past, which sustained some of these very holy people and were still available to me today, and that I could actually pick up and pray with them and like them. I learned about listening prayer. I learned about using my imagination in prayer. Shock. I learned about repeating prayers. Shock, horror. And I learned about silence. I had a lecturer who started every lecture with 5 minutes of silence. It was interesting how that 5 minutes didn't seem as long at the end of the year as it did at the start. Now, the pattern I'd like to show you here is something you may or may not have come across. It's called the examine. Anyone heard of the examine? It kind of means just as it sounds. It's an examination of ourselves. And it's designed to do, usually at the end of the day, to look back on the day that God has given us and to kind of bring his eyes to it and reflect on it. It was written by a guy called Ignatius Loyola in the 15th century. And Ignatius had some amazing prayer ideas. He's called the father of spiritual direction in some quarters. But this is what the examine does. There's usually 5 steps and they look different depending, but just Google examine and there's hundreds of versions. Simpler, more complex. But it goes like this. You invite the Holy Spirit to help you see your day as God sees it. You look back over your day and you're thankful for the gifts, for the things that God has done in your day. You notice God's presence in your day. Where did you actually see him working? And sometimes we can look back and see that, even though we didn't notice it at the time. Then you reflect on those parts of your day where you actually fell short of who God wants you to be. And you ask for forgiveness and mercy and peace for that. And then finally, you look to tomorrow, ask God for the grace you need for the day ahead, and trust it to him. There's kind of a reflection, a consideration, a realignment, an unloading, and then a looking forward. Now, I particularly like this because I'm actually not a morning person. So reflecting on my day at the end suits me well. But it also just really helps to know how God sees my day. Sometimes I've got to the end of the day and my feeling on what the day was like is a bit out of kilter or is a bit negative. And to stop and to ask the Spirit, how did you see my day, has been a really helpful thing for me. And even I find myself during the day thinking, oh, got to think about that tonight. That's going to be a good thing to reflect on. And so that's been helpful too. So the year after I finished study at Burley, Glenn and I went through a really hard time. We had a beautiful baby boy, Tasman, and he was our joy. But we also had three pregnancies that weren't successful, and we lost those babies. After the third one, Taz was 2.5, and it was just after Easter, and I'd gone in to have an ultrasound about 12 weeks. And the doctor had told me, it's probably not okay, but come back in 2 weeks and we'll make sure. So after a very long 2 weeks, we went back and it wasn't okay. And I just found myself in a place of real emptiness. I just didn't have anything to give. I had no words to pray. I wasn't angry with God, but I just had nothing to say to him. And then, of course, I felt bad about that. But there was just nothing there. I didn't even have the energy to listen to God. And after a while, I felt quite stranded, like I'd got myself stuck up on an island and I didn't know how to get off. But the way back to prayer for me was through prayers that I had already learned, through Psalms, through the Lord's Prayer, through other short prayers that I'd learned, even at school. When I didn't have words, the patterns of prayer gave me what I needed. And over time, I could slowly add my own words into the patterns, and my relationship with God slowly came back to life. Started my master's in ministry when I was pregnant with Ronan, and I graduated when he was 12, so it took a little while, but I did have Yolanda in between. And the subject of my thesis was actually the formative nature of worship. How worship itself actually changes us and makes us more mature. And I discovered many things that are actually relevant to prayer. In a sense, a lot, you know, prayer is worship. And so I discovered some things about how prayer changes us that have been really helpful for me. We tend to emphasize expression in prayer, like how we're feeling right now, what we need right now. And that's important, and that's something that it's a practice that we need. But the other side of prayer is that how it changes us. And it's that amazing kind of built-in grace that God has, that when he asks us to do something, we also find that it's actually tremendously good for us. He never asks us to do something that leaves us worse off. And so Scott McKnight says this, and this really sums up what I'm trying to say. He says, prayer is as much about the transformation of the prayer as it is about seeking God's action and response. Prayer is as much about the transformation of the prayer as about seeking God's action and response. In 2015, I did an intensive course with a scholar called Cherith B. Nordling. She's from America, and she was scholarly, but she was also passionate and emotional and just full of love for God. And we listened to her for a week. She talked about our identity in Christ and how we see ourselves from day to day and how we can orient ourselves to be right with God. First time I've ever cried in a lecture. A little embarrassing, but I didn't really care in the end. And the result of this, I wanted to change my prayer life, and I wanted to pray something that would help me realign myself each morning. And so I actually wrote a prayer using words that Cherith had used and concepts. And I began to pray it daily, and it began to shape me in how I thought of myself and my day. 5 years later, I'm still praying that same prayer in the morning. And the words have evolved and they've changed around and been added to and can vary depending on what I'm going through and how I'm feeling. And to be honest, sometimes I'm not completely engaging my whole self, but more often I do. This prayer has changed me. It's changed how I see, how I find my place in the world and how I relate to other people. And it means more now than it did when I first wrote it. It's kind of like that kiss or that I love you. You can't do it too many times because the meaning begins to layer on and layer on. There's never too many times to say an important thing. So this is my prayer if you're interested. Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for holding me in your hand. Thank you for the mercies of yesterday and the gift of today. Please give me, and here I will, you know, adapt for the day, the strength, the courage, wisdom, love, joy, patience, peace, integrity, to live this day as your image bearer in the world. Help me to see through your eyes, to care as you care, to notice what you notice, to love what you love, to forgive as you forgive, that I might be your representative in everything I do and to everyone I meet. So I just offer that to you as a gift. If it's helpful, pick it up. If it's not, that's fine too. So you can see that different patterns have been significant to me in different ways over time in my relationship with God. But perhaps you're thinking, oh yeah, okay, so it works for Miranda. But is it really for everyone? And is it for me? I have thought carefully about the answer to this question, and I do believe the answer is yes. Patterns of prayer are for everyone. No matter who we are, we need help with prayer. We live in a fallen world that influences us every day, and we have something in us which twists us towards ourselves. And so we need ways to realign ourselves and to help us not to twist. We need good habits. Everyone needs good habits, even people that don't like habits. Habits bypass our will. It means we don't have to decide every day what we're going to do about something. It just becomes something we do. We need realignment, and particularly prayers from Scripture, from Psalms. They are God's words to us. They're given to us to help us line up with how he wants us to pray. And we need other people. When we say, oh, I can say anything to God just out of my own resources, we're ignoring all those millions of faithful Christians who have found ways to pray over thousands of years, and that's still available to us. So I think everyone needs patterns of prayer, but the difference comes in how we use them. And I suggest that at least some of this is to do with our own temperaments. More specifically, I think it depends on whether you're a talker or not. Are you a natural talker or are you really not? I'm not naturally talkative. I love words, but I use them sparingly and I make them count. I would rather listen than talk, both to you and to God. And the tradition, our traditionalist way of prayer, which is kind of spontaneous, talkative prayer, at times feels hard going for me. I wonder if you're like that. Scott McKnight said this, "We are worn out with self-generated prayer." When I first heard that, I thought, oh, that's me. Worn out with self-generated prayer. I need to come up with the words, the things to say. It's like holding one end of a conversation. That's not me. If that sounds like you, then I encourage you to treat patterns of prayer like a trellis. A place to start prevents that blank page anxiety, helps with the heavy lifting. You don't have to hold the plant up by yourself. And it gives us a structure to grow in and around in our own ways and our own words. Now, if you are naturally talkative in life with God, you may feel like you don't need patterns because you can keep the conversation going all on your own. I know the type. If that's you, I would say give prayer patterns a go, but don't treat them like a trellis. I encourage you to treat them like a diving board, as a firm place to begin, knowing you're in the right space and the pool's in front of you, to give you a right perspective of God and the world and yourself, and to let intentional patterns break you out of your unintentional patterns, because we all have them, don't we? Then just dive off and see where the Spirit takes you. And you might find it leads you to deeper places than if you're just doing a belly flop off the side on your own. Patterns will never replace heartfelt, spontaneous prayer. And they're not meant to. They're meant to be there to help us. But they give us direction and strength and depth, and their repetition forms who we are. So whatever experience or temperament you are, if you would like to grow in prayer this year, I encourage you to give patterns of prayer a try. Just choose one and give it a go. And Jason's going to help us take that a bit further now.
Right, there we go. Thank you. So it's very easy to hear a talk like we've just heard now and go, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And then nothing happens. You've got to agree with me. So we don't want that to happen. Brenda, you've shared very well how you've grown in prayer. I feel like often, as followers of Jesus, it's like we've got a colouring in pencil case. It's got one colour in it. And we're every picture is... In fact, I remember when I was a kid, I did have a pencil case like that. It had a lead pencil in it. So every picture was coloured grey because that's all I had. Well, it turns out Miranda's helped us see there are many other colours that we can use. So... in all those things that Miranda said, which colour would you like to pick? Lord's Prayer. Could you take the Lord's Prayer, maybe say it daily? Examine in terms of using that as an end of day reflection. The collect, the pattern of the collect. Miranda's Prayer, they're not quite up there with the Lord's Prayer. But which would you choose? Could I encourage you maybe to consider this one? The Examine. The Examine. You can go to our website. On our website it says Week of Prayer. If you click on that link, then you'll find the things that Miranda has just said. You can look at the Examine. But that would be my suggestion to you. Use the Examine as a way of finishing your day. There are many other things. We've tried to keep it simple for you. Well, can we go back, Ray, to Miranda's prayer? Okay. So have you thought about what you'll do from here? So when it says, please give me the strength, courage, we'll stop there, strength and courage to pray each day with my pattern. Not complicated, but I want you to say, you know, please give me the strength and courage to pray each day with this pattern, the thing that you've got in your mind that you'd like to take up. All right, please give me the strength and courage to pray each day with this pattern. Let's stand together. And we're going to say this as our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for loving me, for holding me in your hand. Thank you for the mercies of yesterday and the gift of today. Please give me the strength and courage to pray this pattern, to live this day as your image bearer in the world. Help me to see through your eyes, to care as you care, to notice what you notice, to love what you love, to forgive as you forgive, that I may be your representative in everything I do and to everyone I meet. Amen. Invite the band up.